Turn on your mic.
Turn on your mic.
Why do you look so different?
Blow on your whistle.
I cut my hair.
Short hair. You look great.
Thanks.
Great seeing you.
Good to see
on your whistle.
You know, yes, I know Jordan. Hi, Jordan. Cool. Good to see you again.
You too. There's no reason for you to be in the... Where do you want me?
Who's this?
Here.
You sit down wherever you'd like. Huh? What?
Huh? What? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get... Jesus, Andy, come on.
Come on. Come on now. Let's open up with a half hour of putting down Garland again.
I get more
yep.
comments about that. About you ripping.
Love it.
And
love
now
it.
He's got, and now he has a shitty sitcom.
And he thinks it's the greatest thing.
Oh my God, it's horrible. And I feel so bad for Wendy. She's so funny. Wendy McClendon Covey, the blonde, plays his wife. She used to be on Reno 911.
Mm-hmm.
She's that crowd, that mm-hmm. Robert Ben Garrett, Thomas Lennon crowd.
Is she from the original state?
No, she wasn't on. Wasn't in the state, but she's right after they did the state. Then they went to, I guess Reno 911, pretty close.
And then the grandpa is the dad from. I know it was Just Shoot Me, but before that,
okay,
George Segal.
Yeah, what would we know him from?
The Talking Baby movie.
Yes, he was the dad in Look Who's Talking. He was the biological father.
Is this the one where Patton's doing the voiceover?
Ooh.
No, that was Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis did the baby.
No. But in the Goldbergs, though. In the Goldbergs.
Is that possible?
I don't. Yeah. You know what? You know.
It's like a Wonder Years ripoff in a way.
Thank you, Andy. I'm glad you.
Oh, it's only based in the 80s. Yeah,
I
that
said,
sounds right.
I said shitty sitcom. I'm just going by the fact that Jeff Garland's in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the sitcom. I haven't actually watched a second of it. So I dismissed it as a
I was going to tell you guys, let's not say anything about Jeff Garland this time before we started, but I didn't get a chance
you know
to
what,
say that.
Though? You know what? Here's the great thing about it. Andy, let me talk
editing?
To you. Editing? I am pretty much, other than shooting it up to... you having a beer, Andy? What are you... I'm recording all of this. I'm editing it on my thing. I edit on my
thing,
and then I get it into a
situation,
and then it goes up to the bird.
But to a cloud.
The only thing I can't do is get it up to the bird.
Yeah,
but once we do that,
did you get a haircut?
Yes, I got them all here. I got them.
I'm all cut. Yeah.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me again.
Did you get a haircut?
I got them all cut.
Oh, good job.
See
good
now.
Good job.
That's my favorite birthday card. Isn't that your favorite birthday card?
You told me I could go in the snacks closet. That was okay, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You're ready to do whatever he wants here.
Wait a minute.
I still sneak stuff from there because technically I don't have anything to do with this anymore.
Oh, my God.
Just the podcast, so I feel bad taking the food.
Hey, I'm recreating the Jeff Gall and eating doing the thing.
Yeah.
No, this is pre-show. This is the off-the-air part. It's
oh,
fine.
Okay.
We're just sitting around. See, I take it home and I edit it.
Oh, you brought
I have these headphones on to make sure that your microphone's on.
Yeah. Well, if it's pre-show, are you recording now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicholas, the thing I was going to say was recently online, of all the annoying things he does, one of the annoying things is that he follows two people.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
He,
mm-hmm.
But he has all these followers. And it's not like, you know, like someone like Zach Galifianakis, he's not doing his Twitter account. It's just an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But to me, it's the worst when you just follow two people because he's still interacting with everybody. So someone asked him, hey, how come you've never been on Marc Maron's show? And he puts that in quotes, and then he says after it, Jeff Garland goes, I wonder. You know, like, I started going nuts on that. So I did my own tweet like, hey, Andy, how come you've never had an audience with the Pope? I wonder. He just thinks that Marc Maron should have to come over to his house and
beg sure, him. Yeah. How did that go, by the way? You were on the show again, right? Mark's show?
Oh.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that one yet.
The sitcom is, I love his show.
Was Bobcat the director when you were there?
Mm-hmm. And I love him. And it was like the dream come true.
Yeah, I saw a picture of you guys on his Instagram, on Bobcat's Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
The recording, yeah.
So.
Yep, that's it.
Well, okay. I'm going to, it was sad about Robin talking about Bobcat and, you know, they were.
Yeah, and the thing is, like.
That was horrible.
Right now, I mean, I always made fun of Robin Williams, so I mean, it was a staple of my act to like make fun of him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, all the time. But I did feel I did feel terrible about it. But he's Bobcat's doing a documentary about Barry Crimmins.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I had just been with Bobcat that day.
Oh.
I left and an hour later, so I texted him and see if he's okay. And yeah, right. I mean, it was just weird to be with Bobcat like an hour right. before all this happened.
Yeah.
Now, who's Barry Crimmins? Why do I know that name? Is that a character?
He's a comedian.
Is he a comedian?
He's a comedian.
Is this a stand-up?
But
I mean, not just a stand-up.
No, but he's a political comedian.
Oh, okay.
And amazing at it. So
okay.
He's not world famous, but right, he's right. very respected. I'm ready, guys. I'm so ready. I'm not ready.
Why don't you introduce us to your now? What is Jordan going to be doing as far as
this podcast?
No, I mean, is he your handler today? Is he driving you? What is he doing?
He drove us flat. He was
step
us
up there. To the microphone, Jordan. What are you doing here?
Hey, everybody.
He's a comedian. Jordan's a comedian.
Wait a minute. Hold it. This can't be. This
yeah,
can't,
he is
this
a comedian.
He was with us at the club last weekend.
Oh, that's right. I know I saw you from somewhere.
And I was on the show once. You know, not this show, but, you know.
He has a very distinctive laugh like someone else I know.
Who?
You.
I think my laugh's awful. That's one of the main reasons I don't listen to our podcast. That's why I don't listen to our podcast.
Are they too tight?
No, I got... Oh, no.
You know,
I
you're lucky it. You're even talking on the microphone. I know you're bitching about it. The headphones are too
I've been here for 30 seconds. I feel like I've ruined everything. And I apologize.
Andy, has he ruined anything?
He's here to handle Andy. You know.
He's doing my style now. He's apologizing. Apologizing before the joke.
No, there's no joke.
There's no joke.
No, there's no joke coming.
There's no joke.
I'm very enthusiastic about this kid. This
Aww.
Kid.
Aww.
I was enthusiastic about him before you were.
Mm-mm. You didn't even recognize him. He was just on a show with
Who
you.
Was here with you earlier on the other show?
On the Bob and Tom show?
Yeah. Who was the other
This team? Morning?
Yeah.
Ben Roy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I had not seen him before. He was very funny, though.
Okay.
I liked him a lot.
A lot of tattoos.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to eat all your crackers, Andy? Is that it? We're going to go have lunch.
All right, let's go. Let's do this.
I know. I don't know why it's not
playing.
Hey,
you know what else I have? I have pretzels in my pocket.
You know what? We'll add the music later.
Are
I can
serious?
Do that now.
No, don't make it complicated.
I can't. I got to get up and go over there now.
I have my. But
That's
the
okay. We're fine.
The reason
we're
why
learning.
I'm eating the crackers is I'm low blood sugar guy. Mm-hmm.
Hypo. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
What did you not do?
It's not turned up.
The volume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll get you every time.
You need to walk more now with your stent, so that's good.
Oh, we can talk about that. This is the first show after my,
Yeah.
They crawled around inside me for a little bit. Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. Ah!
Oh, so close.
It's too loud. You're too old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they say. Give me a kiss. I don't know if it's recording. Hang on.
At all?
No, we're recording.
Didn't press the button. Oh, this is awful.
Will you stop it?
I like how you have to go to a different area to do something. That's my favorite part.
Well, usually we used to have a producer that would sit over there.
Yeah.
But he quit.
In general?
No, he's right over there on the other side of that window.
Yeah.
He's waving.
He was in the room last time.
He just
sits here. I didn't know he could hear us. I guess everybody back here listens to the live version.
Everybody listens to the live version?
The new Tom Doran. Well, I mean, he's still Tom Doran. He's the new
No,
position.
He's new.
He's new here. He's
oh,
new.
Oh, we're live now?
We've been live
in the
whole
building.
Time. Or in the whole building.
In
yeah.
the building.
No, but it doesn't
us.
Go out to the people now?
No, no not right it's now. Not streaming.
Oh,
you have to download
oh.
it.
I'm streaming 24/7.
I'm getting a thumbs up from Tom.
See, they're all... Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air.
Let's do this.
There we go. Now
yeah.
in the morning in the back of the demon. Now, mama, what's up? I know that you're receiving, but you can't be frightened when it comes to this.
Cussing
Daddy back tricks, give me a kiss. I got a castle.
Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and this is the Off the Air podcast.
Nice,
I'm your host. That's Jess. She's the other host.
Up in the mud house, over in the club. Getting crumbling, bring us some love.
This is Bob Schneider, BobSchneiderMusic.com, or BobSchneider.com. So, thanks for downloading the podcast. So, I'm doing this.
Yay!
Yeah!
I didn't even see him!
You know, I love how Jess says, we used to have a producer, no name. And Andy says, oh yeah, I saw that guy, no name.
What's the matter with us?
I'm not sure.
Our producer, Jason.
Quit. Jason!
No, 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 he doesn't have a name.
Quit. He just quit. Hang on.
No.
Yeah. Is this your guest shot? Is this
no,
a guest
no,
slot?
I just want to say hi to Andy. I think
yeah.
Hi.
Loves,
well, we could do this Mark Levin style. If you haven't heard of him, don't listen to him. But he says, producer, producer.
Is that what he says?
He's like an evil Don Adams. He's an evil man. He goes, producer, play, go! He goes, cut eight, go!
You know, one of Don Adams' comedy records was one of the first comedy things I ever heard.
I never heard it. Missed it by this much.
It was that much.
I'm scraping something off the microphone.
Ew.
Who needs it?
As you can tell, Andy Kindler is here again joining us. Thank you, Andy,
Yay!
For stopping by.
Thank you for having me back on. You're the only podcast who's ever booked me back again.
No.
Two times?
Why? How?
I'm self-deprecating. I'm really a huge star who's very much in demand. But I play it down is what
That's
I do.
That's right. You play it way down. And Andy's...
What?
I
don't know what that means.
Andy's driver.
He's not, but he is a comedian in his own right.
He's an upcoming comedian.
That's right.
Local.
I've seen him.
Yeah.
Bloomington, Indianapolis, where are you from?
I started out in Indy and I live in Bloomington now.
Where are you from? Are you from Indy?
I was born in South Bend.
South Bend.
And then I lived in Indy since I was 10.
Since you were 10.
He's a chronic liar.
Are you a Catholic school kid?
No. My dad's a Methodist minister.
Oh, well.
So I went to public school.
So far.
Holy shit.
Where'd you graduate from? One of the Lawrences?
Broad Ripple.
His father is a very progressive Methodist minister.
How progressive is he, Andy?
No, because he's... he's so progressive. When he... someone feed me some Christian material. When he goes to take the Icarus...
He gets his Bible out.
Yeah. He uses Necco wafers. Is that good?
That's progressive.
I know, it's Catholic, too. Uh-huh. Now, that's progressive.
That's good.
Go. Oh.
Well, you were Methodist, one marriage, right?
I was Methodist. Methodist is this Jordan Matherlicht. I don't think we actually
said sorry.
His name. It's Jordan. Hi, Jordan.
That's
Hi.
A good. That's a good last name.
No, thank you.
I like that.
So this is an unpaid appearance. God, I'm getting paid. So.
No way.
I was Methodist when I was 8 or 9 or 10 along in there, and my mother would make me go to church on Sunday, and she would make me wear a suit,
fedora,
a tie. I'll get to it.
Oh, that's the best part.
A suit, a tie, and this goofy hat.
Oh.
That a middle-aged man would have worn with a little feather in it. It was a fedora.
But you know what? Your mom was very ahead of her time because that's how everybody dresses their kid like a 60-year-old man now. Like your babies are all dressed like they're
right now?
Like 60 or 70. Yeah.
I'm a middle-aged man.
I feel like
I have a fedora. I don't have a fedora, do I?
No, but that's what, no, older.
Andy,
how old are
we're
you?
About
You're not 60.
Age. We're about the same age, right?
I will be 58 in October, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
He looks, I told him this morning, he looked 40, 45.
I've had a lot of work done. Not on my act. Not on my act.
Jordan, are you his middle?
No. I'm just hanging out.
Okay.
And I just love what he does.
Aww. You know?
He's my body man. Is that a thing?
No, I don't think so. I don't like how that sounds.
Yeah, like in a box, cut guy?
No.
Cut man.
He's a cut man.
Cut man?
He's been... Yeah, he
Who's
been,
your middle guy?
No, he is...
It's Josh Cox is middling.
Oh, that's a great last name.
But we banter in the car from here to Bloomington. Oh. We're bantering. We're spritzing.
Are you riffing?
Tweeting?
Are you...
Yeah, it's Riff Master Andy when you're with me. I can go off on any subject I can riff. Go ahead, provide me with anything and I'll riff on it.
So my mother made me go to church in this hat. And
yeah.
Suit.
Nothing Christian.
And I was 8 or 10 and I about 5'7" and weighed about 300 pounds.
And so that's not true.
I was a big kid.
But she would drop him off. She would make him go to church by himself.
And she would make me bring the bulletin back. And show her.
What's the bulletin?
It's a church bulletin. It's
yeah, it's like a newsletter.
I went to the church of what's happening now.
No.
You know who that is, right?
Oh, that's
Flip Wilson.
Yeah.
That's my favorite name of a church.
Geraldine. But he did the reverend.
Yeah, from the church of what's happening. And the whole thing was, you have to give me your money.
That's right.
It was so good. I love Flip Wilson.
And I mentioned...
Is he alive? No.
Flip is still alive, isn't he?
He is?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I thought.
Why isn't he out doing a thing?
Why isn't he on the podcast?
He's got to be like 82 or something.
Easy. Yeah. I'm going to be 82 soon.
Didn't Flip have on his show one time?
Is that his given name?
Church.
Flip? I bet that's not his given name.
He was cute. Oh, I think he is just.
Who?
Flip Wilson? Like Wilson.
Alfredus or something?
Bad news, guys.
Adolphus?
He died in 98.
Yeah, that made sense to me. I didn't think he was still around. Yeah.
What was his actual name, Flip Wilson?
I think it. Well, let's get there.
I bet his last name was Wilson.
I bet.
He was one of the first African Americans hosting his own television show, right? He had to be.
He had to be. Absolutely.
Yeah, because right around that time.
Cleo Wilson.
Cleo. What's her name? Diane Carroll. Julia.
I loved that show when I was a kid, Julia.
Dr. Checkley? How do you like that name pulling out of my head?
What's Dr. Checkley? That's who
Dr.
she worked
Checkley
for?
Dr. Checkley was the boss of the
See?
Julia was a nurse. That's right.
Yeah. If they really were being progressive, she would have been the doctor. Mm-hmm. That would have been a bridge too far in the 60s. Wait, Bill Cosby had a show.
Bill Cosby had a show where he's a phys ed teacher. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, in I Spy.
I Spy with I call him Bobby Culp.
Bobby Culp, who was great, and
who's also on Everybody Loves Raymond, the show that Andy was on. I don't like to I don't like to recite my credits. That's
Wait
not what
a minute.
I'm about.
Hold it, you were in.
You may have seen me on. Yeah.
Do you know that crowd? I refer to people as crowds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Kevin James Ray Romano crowd.
Actually, I took a joke that I had written about. Kevin James about me because I was watching TV and my friend says has he had some work done, and I said not on his act. Do you know that the DVD corporation refused to put Here Comes the Boom on DVD? They did not want to commit that much plastic. Do you know the Digital Download Corporation says there's not enough room in this or any other known universe to be able to allow people to download Here Comes the Boom?
Is that right?
Yeah, he's not. No, he's a very lucky man.
Is that a wrestling movie?
That is a. That movie looks like it looked. I didn't even see it, but I could smell the DVD case, and it was terrible. I don't understand the Kevin James track. Are you guys good friends with him? Because I'll change a dime.
No.
That's the kind of thing we should be having.
I saw one of his stand-ups, and I thought it was very good.
Well, here's the thing about him. People say, he can make people laugh. He's very physical and stuff like that. Right. But as I used to say about Will and Grace, not only is it not my cup of tea, it makes me hate tea.
That's
pretty much a blanket.
For me. Yeah.
I like it.
So anyway, I went to the Methodist church when I was a kid in the hat and the suit, mostly to play softball. They had a softball league.
I think you're getting being a kid and being married mixed up. I think that.
No, I also went to a Methodist church when my younger kids were born.
I know, and I thought you played softball with the grown-ups there.
I did.
Every story is fake with him. Not just news from the.
That's exactly right. Every story that I've ever told. No. This is like through high school.
Oh, I didn't
right
know
after
that.
High school, I played softball for a while. Yeah, but
I didn't know.
I bet you were a good athlete.
I was okay.
I was a relief pitcher.
No, he was one of those people that could have been a really good athlete, but he was not. He wasn't interested.
Andy, here's the thing. I didn't, and Jordan, you can learn from this. How old are you? 22?
20.
20.
22?
Just 20. Just 20.
20? Get out.
No other number.
Get out.
All right.
No,
hang on a
second.
Hang on a second. You were born.
That makes my stomach hurt.
You were born in 94?
93. I'll turn 21 later this year.
Oh, you will?
Yes, I will.
We should have a party.
Party! Yeah.
When's your birthday?
October 20th.
Ooh.
It is a Monday.
Yeah, it is a Monday.
Get Monday drunk.
What day is it again?
It's a Monday.
Monday, October.
November 20th. October
20th?
October 20th.
Why are we changing his birthday?
October
20th.
JML.
I have socks older than you because things have not gone well for me.
That's not true.
I use that at a roast for David Foley. I don't drop names, but I'm friends with Dave Foley.
Speaking of Maron and speaking of Dave Foley and speaking of you, Andy, Mike Myers was just interviewed by Mark Maron.
I heard him be interviewed.
That was
very interesting to hear him.
Very interesting because Mike does not do an interview, a long-form interview. Yes.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Pick my bone, baby. What did I do?
The Alec Baldwin podcast.
Here's the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the matter?
You said you said you liked it.
I did. No. Alec can take over the interview a little
bit. You fucking think? Jesus, I kept listening and I was like, listen to the Andrew Luck one. Listen to the Letterman. Listen to Letterman.
I like the Letterman only because you never hear David talk, and especially that relaxed and...
But I just feel like you're right. It just somehow it always...
No, but Alec, he can...
Alec, someone's Alec. On a first name basis.
When I was on the phone with AB, I'm telling him, look, Big B. They call him Big B because there's how many? There are four Baldwins?
I interviewed a Baldwin once at the Republican National Convention.
Alec, did you?
I don't plug plug my appearances that I covered it for Letterman. That's not the kind of person I am. I covered two Republican National Conventions for Letterman, and believe me, I would if I wasn't actually doing it for TV, I probably would have had a heart attack from. I can't say heart attack. He's got a stent. But I mean, when you're around Republicans, I was literally 5 yards away from the hideous
Sarah Palin.
No, who's pig? Oh. They call him Pig Blossoms or
Pig Blossoms.
Karl Rove.
Oh,
and he comes down the hallway. He's got these thugs around him. Out of our way!
Pure evil, that guy.
Out of our way. We couldn't have been more against the wall to begin with. And he comes barreling through, and he says to Christy Todd Whitman, you know, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Christine Whitman.
She was
the governor
of New Jersey and the EPA. He goes, "Hey, you're the worst governor that there ever has been." That was like his idea of a joke. She looked horrified, and let's think back to the invasion of Iraq. Okay, let's wrap that part up. How did we get into the Republican?
So would you classify
Letterman.
Yourself as Baldwin's. A liberal Baldwin's. Democrat? As a
Here's my problem.
A Whig?
I'm very liberal, very very progressive.
Sure.
And I never thought that I would have to defend that. First of all, I never thought that we'd live to see the day where it'd be the first black president, and then I'd have to defend him to my other progressive friends. I love Obama. I'm not saying he's perfect, but I love him.
You are bringing up a great point, and I'm not just doing this because I love you as a person, from what I've known of you and your comedy. I am so sick and tired, and I think you agree, of people.
Wait.
People blaming. First of all, I don't get people blaming other than if you have someone incredibly awful like George Bush, the second one, or the first one. Anyway, my point is, Obama, I mean, it seemed like they were just waiting for him to make the slightest mistake, and then it was
well, and one
over.
Thing, of, I mean, the Republicans.
I think he's a great, smart, he could be the smartest president we've ever had.
I agree, and it's like, I expected it from the Republicans, but the thing that's enraged me, and none of this is funny, is I think the media has gotten worse. You have Andrea Mitchell, and Andrea Mitchell, every single day she starts talking about how he didn't bomb Syria, so he's terrible. And they take Republican talking points. All of them. I like Brian Williams. My wife and I enjoy Brian Williams. And I like Richard Engel because he's actually a correspondent out there in the
Brian
war
Brian Williams
zone.
Was on Alec Baldwin's podcast. And it was the best interview I'd heard of all of them. But it made me love Brian. You'll love Brian Williams.
Oh, he's great.
You have to
listen
to this.
He's got a great sense of humor.
You have to listen to it.
I love him. And he's a great newscaster. Everybody else at NBC, they should all be fired. They're all Chuck Todd, David Gregory, Meet the Press. He has like 4 right-wing panelists every week. They pick up Republican talking points. Why? I know that presidents go on vacation, but it looks bad. The optics look bad. There's no actual news. It's all like covered like a sports game. And the people on the have disappointed me, the progressives, because they are just as bad in their own way. I mean, if they wanted Obama to do stuff that if he had done it, he would never have gotten reelected. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a smart politician.
I think so.
Yeah.
They just were waiting for him. And
yes.
It's no wonder. And I'm not sure which comedian. I'm sure I've heard this because it's too obvious. But it's no wonder we can't get good help as far as a president goes. The way we wait for whatever they. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, this is. I mean, to constantly be examined and scrutinized. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for her.
And Lindsey Graham and all these people. Come on, Come on. When I was younger, the Republicans had some, you know, northern East Coast Republicans were more liberal. I mean, it's that you can't even be – you have to be a complete – so right-wing that that you – I don't know, some kind of a joke about wings. But
do you think there's a bigger – see, my thing is, I thought, and the way my mind works – this will give you a little window into my mind. When the Broncos played the Seahawks in the Super Bowl this, class,
yeah.
this past mm-hmm. February, Richard Sherman was very outspoken,
right.
Very confident in the way he played football. And, of course, Peyton Manning was the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And I think a lot of people, and this could be, this might be controversial, but I think a lot of people took that opportunity to, well, Peyton Manning's going to put Richard Sherman in his place, you know. And I think it was kind of like a closet racism.
The
hiding behind Peyton Manning to put Richard Sherman. And I think the same thing about Obama. When I say these people, I mean those people are just, you know, are hiding behind, well, he's not a good president. Well, what do you really mean?
Oh, it's so much racism.
Yeah.
And look at Dennis Miller, who used to be who decided, you know what, I'm a respected comedian. Why don't I end up opening up for Bill O'Reilly in concert? I mean, this guy, I don't know what happened to him. He's the most wealthy. He lives in Santa Barbara. And as soon as Richard Sherman did, you know, at the end of that game thing, it was like Dennis Miller was right on Twitter. You know, I don't respect that kind of a thing.
Shooting his mouth off like a...
And they picked on the wrong guy because Richard Sherman... was like
incredibly intelligent,
and yeah. just saying, "Don't call me a thug."
Right.
I mean, that's just there's so much blatant racism, and all these comics who, you know, I've already gotten enough trouble for this, not trouble, but blowback. You know, just the idea that all these comics, when Anthony of Opie and Anthony, when you know, I think everyone knows the story. Something happened in Times Square, and he went on a 6-hour raging.
It was unbelievable.
It was racist.
Did he not realize people were seeing this on Twitter? I'm still amazed at the things he tweeted.
Well, he talked about eugenics on his, and I never really even listened to Open Anthony. I really didn't care. But then everybody was like, they shouldn't fire. First of all, people mix up free speech with, yeah, you have free speech, but you don't get to keep your job all the time. But right. that became what the comedians were rallying around, stand with that. How about at least saying this guy's a racist? He won't even admit that he's a racist.
That's all. That's what his rant was about.
Someone near him was attacked.
He claims to have been attacked. What that happens is he was taking photos in Times. Well, also he got. He goes, oh, these liberals with they always have to say alleged. No, you say alleged when you don't know what happened, you
right,
know.
Right.
So he says this woman attacked. I don't know what happened,
right.
But I, you know, some people say he was taking pictures in Times Square. Maybe he was taking a picture of this woman. He says he was at Times Square at 3 a.m. taking pictures of Times Square. I don't know what the hell happened, but he goes on this whole thing about how they're animals and when is the black community going to take a responsibility for their vile. I mean, just all this vile disgust and the stuff that got tweeted at me because I did the speech in Montreal was like so disgusting. But again, at the end of the day, basically they're saying the new thing. Now, I'm not saying all comedians this way, but the new thing is, I'm not racist. I'm just stating a fact. You know, that's the new thing. You know, it's like black people have it's like as if slavery never happened. As if it's just like black people they want to fight you. Now, of course, this was all before the last few days where you saw the stuff in Ferguson and you see the way. But it's unbelievable. I mean, maybe because I'm Jewish or whatever, but if you can't relate to the fact. If you and you're not black, if you were black for one day in America and you saw. How you have to walk around and constantly be the suspicion of that you've done something, and I just don't understand. I thought it was like a weird. I don't like that movement in comedy. I'm against that in your face racist movement.
So that was his excuse. So I hadn't heard that part.
What's
that? He was in Times Square and he was taking pictures at 3 a.m.
He said he was taking pictures at 3 a.m. of Times Square. You know, and then this woman just got in his face and started punching him.
For no reason.
Well, because she, you know, I think he claims that she didn't like that he was taking pictures of her. And then just went into this whole, like, six-hour
And he insulted her, and, I mean, everything horrible you can think.
You can find the tweets online. And I defy anybody to to read those tweets and not tell me that they are racist to the core. So, anyway, I'll probably end up being punched out somewhere.
That's okay.
So now,
you got
then,
Jordan.
Jordan's got my back.
I will defend you the best I can, which is not much.
That's nice. The best he can. That's nice.
Well, a lot of comics have been very supportive of the things that I said, and it's like,
well, this had this started. I heard it.
Not defending.
I forget what our. I'm sorry, Jordan.
No. We so much chick so much wants to do the hey look, my pal. You haven't paid your dues.
No, you know how I found Jordan. I saw him doing. Were you hosting?
Yeah, for Ryan Dalton.
He did the famous joke about his car downtown.
Oh, I thought it was one of the times we ran into Ryan.
Oh no, that's a good story. But Doug, go ahead, do your.
That's a good story. I'm gonna skip.
Go ahead, do your joke.
Do your joke,
guys. I got some comedy bits here. Just gonna unload them real quick. Which, as any of you know, I drive a Prius, which I call the pussy wagon. Because I cry in it. That's the joke. It's my big hit. That is my number one single. That is going all across the airwaves, on the ones and twos, all across the nation.
On the ones and twos.
Well, here's an interesting thing. The thing about it is that there is an issue like that people are worried that you can't say anything anymore because there's so much political correctness. I get that that's happened. Like when Colbert got attacked because on his web, you know, on his Twitter account, they took his thing out of context.
Right.
But that person who was cancel Colbert, that woman was wrong, and I think she was just trying to stir up stuff. And to me, it's like, no, we know where Colbert is coming from. We know it's satire. So you're completely wrong, and you have no point. And also, like comics I love, like Dave Attell. Okay, Dave Attell, for some reason, he'll go off on midgets. Now I don't use the word midget, but he's saying like to a midget, a stamp. A postage stamp is a painting. You know, he's doing these things. And to me, I think it's actually social commentary about how ridiculous prejudice could be that you would be upset at little people. But so that's the worry, is that are we going to be clamped down on for everything we say? I think that's a legitimate concern. But that doesn't justify accepting everything people say. And also the idea that you can say something hateful like Anthony Cumia, but then we're not allowed to respond and say we don't like it. Where's our free speech?
Right, it's almost implied that why aren't? Of course you'll agree with my opinion because you're also a comedian, and how can you disagree with it?
Right.
I don't understand that part. Why would they do that?
Well,
yeah. So this Montreal thing.
Yeah.
I heard not the most recent one, but I think a year ago. Have you been? You've been doing like a state of the
since 96. I do a speech there every year.
And is it just you? Just
it's criticizing, like for example, part of it is like a roast. Like we were talking about, I don't know what I was talking about before, but Russell Peters was up there,
right.
And Russell Peters goes, "How come you won't make fun of me in your speech? How come you make won't?" So I just wrote a joke to him about how they say he's huge in India, but so is overcrowding and poverty. So a lot of it is like a roast. Literally like a roast.
Right.
I'm not, and because if it was all just rage stuff, it wouldn't be. But I also like when people, like this year, it went right up on SoundCloud, so everybody could hear it.
Right.
Other years, I made a mistake of being interviewed about it, which was a mistake because it was like, don't be interviewed, just let people listen to it. And then, but people also evaluate it as if it's my act, which, yeah, it is stuff from my act, but I'm also doing 55 minutes of actual all new material on the subject of what's wrong with show business. So it's not going to be, there's going to be bumps in it. There's going to be, like I ended it this year with reading Anthony's racist tweets. And then I was like, why is this not getting a reaction? I was like, what do you want? I was like, how can they just get a reaction? What kind of reaction do you want, Andy? They're not going to be whooping it up because I'm exposing the racism.
Right.
But maybe I shouldn't have closed with it. So, but last year was Corolla. I went after.
Yes. I heard that on. Sirius XM are the same thing. I heard it in my car on the satellite. And they played the whole, like they had the Montreal comedy
channel, whatever. Right.
So, do you mind going over that a little?
No,
bit?
No, because what happened there was, I had done.
I guess my question is, how have you become this controversial? Being, just a nice guy and going up and telling jokes. And
I'll tell you why. I know clearly why I've been. It's because I did decide years ago that I was going to make fun of other comics.
Right.
And for some reason that, and I've even had very good friends of mine who are comics say that they don't like it, that I do this in general. Well,
but it's just anything that I just worked the Comedy Attic last week, and we're all sitting around backstage, and we're all saying things that I think that you bring up on stage. I guess, is their problem you're making it public, or is that...
That's their problem.
You're making it public.
They're making it public, and I feel like it's kind of there's a hypocrisy to putting it out in public.
Right.
And of course, you know, everything is politics. There's politics involved with everything. So I try not to burn every single bridge or I try not to burn the current. I try not to bite the current hand that's feeding me. But when it goes from a roast part of it to something I'm very actually angry about, that's only usually in the speech.
Right.
You know, like, so with Carolla, my whole thing was, I had gone on Carolla's podcast and I hated it, and I didn't realize, because I wanted to, like, I never was a big fan of like the Man Show or any of this stuff or Love Line. I said, you know what, I got to be more open to things, and he just ignored. Basically, it was at the John Lovitz Comedy Club where the ceilings are so high that like you tell a joke and 6 months later it hits the rafters, and then they make you park in it's in the Universal City Walk, so you have to park like in Curious George 9. You pay $25 to park, which Adam Carolla did not refund, and then you have to, and you know it's a long walk when they go make a left at the Bubba Gump. And that's where the show. And so I really had a bad taste in my mouth from that. And so then I started listening to the things that he was saying, and you know my manager actually pointed out that that one of the problems is that when he was on terrestrial radio, mm-hmm. he had a producer. There's certain things you can't say.
Right.
Now he's got his podcast, so he says anything he wants, and he actually has things that are just racist. He talks about Mexicans swarming over the border. He goes, there's no wonder black people can't get a cab. Maybe the cab drivers know something about black people that we... And he's very angry because I think he's very angry at his mother, because his mother, I don't know if she's still alive, but she was on food stamps. You know, he goes on Bill O'Reilly, and he goes on these right-wing... Wow. So my whole point was, that's not him being a comedian. That's him just saying horrible things and using comedy.
Right.
And also, I have other gripes with him because he's one of these guys. It's like Ricky Gervais, where you know they've performed 8 times as a stand-up. Now they think they're stand-ups.
That's what I was gonna say. I don't know Adam Carolla. I've never known him to do any stand-up.
Well, he goes, and I'm not saying I have nothing against people, you know, going out and doing stand-up if you haven't. But then to think you're an expert, you know, like mm-hmm. you know, all of a sudden. So that got a lot of blowback right. from a lot, and I still get a lot of blowback from that. From Carolla, but then the Carolla to me seems like a saint now that you listen to the
Comedia stuff. It's so I admire so much that you do that. And do you have any concern for how other people feel or how the people that you talk about?
Well, that's the other thing as a corollary to the whole thing about you should be able to say anything you want as a comedian. You should never have to apologize. I disagree with that completely. I apologize on Twitter all the time because I get so many negative things that sometimes someone's not negative, mm-hmm. and then I realize, oh, I'm sorry, and I apologize. I took it the wrong way. Or if you as a comedian, it's very hard to censor. You really don't want to get in this mode where you're censoring yourself too much mm-hmm. because you want to experiment with things. But when I start many, many years ago, I was a Jewish writer, got very upset because of I had done material on the Young Comedian special about how, you know, as a Jewish person, I'm scared all the time. So like I go on a train, you know, I won't go on a train. It's like, yeah, it's going to Baltimore. It's going to Baltimore, Stuttgart. Is where it's going. So he felt like I was trivializing the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Now, I disagree with him, but it did make me think, I don't think it's bad for comics once you've said something to say, am I doing this because it's gratuitous, or am I doing this because it's funny? And I can't think of specific things I've taken out, but I think that it's important to have that kind of a conscience as a comic.
Right.
And so that's I don't know if that's what answers the question.
No, not really.
Okay.
But it's more like
are you ever concerned with how the other person's going to react?
All the time, because I don't like confrontation.
Right, but on Twitter you have no problem. It
okay,
seems
but
like.
But I'll tell you, I have very very strong. My boundaries. For example, in my mind. You know how people like on Twitter, they'll go, oh, you're hiding behind a fake name.
Right.
Yeah. Tell me what your real name is. No, I have those same type of impulses too, but I don't want to, I'm not going to go, I'll come down to you and have you punch me out. You know, it's like I draw the line at anything that has anything physical.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to challenge someone to a fight. I'm mm-hmm. not going to do any of those type of things. But, yes, I get very strongly emotional about something, and I know that there's blowback from it, but it's I don't want physical confrontations.
Right.
So that's a and comics are very thin-skinned.
Yeah.
But you know, like the other side of it is like Dane Cook, is following me, and I'm following him on Twitter. I saw him on Montreal. So after years of making fun of him, he came up and he approached it. It's like some of these things are like they're not even with Jay Leno. It's I can't stand Jay Leno, really, personally can't stand him, but in a way it's not personal,
mm-hmm.
you know? But these other things like Carolla and Kumia, this is personal because I'm saying to them, I think you're racist. But still, I don't want to, I hope to never see Adam Carolla in any environment because I don't want to see him. I don't want to confront him, and I don't mm-hmm. And I think that's probably wise. But the other thing that's uncomfortable, and I'm not going to mention names because I've already mentioned enough names, but some comics who I've been friends with for many, many years were very really reacted strongly to me going after Louis a couple of years ago
mm-hmm.
And things like that. So it's just I'm stirring up. And the thing with Louis was hard because I actually think he's can be very, very hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt there was this emperor wears no clothes type of that he. Mm-hmm. I got so resentful that people, all these magazines, and in a lot of ways, it's not his fault. Say he's the greatest stand up comedian.
Yeah,
ever.
I don't.
He is not the greatest stand up. I could think of so many people that I'd rather see than Louis C.K. That's not mean to say he's not funny, but this celebration, this making him into an icon. It's just a media. They think it'll sell things, or maybe they just. I think the media loves money. They love when people are successful, mm-hmm. and they just want to glom onto it sometimes. Did I answer your question at all?
Yeah, okay. we got closer. We definitely got closer.
Doesn't it get back to? I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, and I'm certainly. I don't. I wouldn't describe myself as being a guy. You know, I think I'm too. I'm way too.
Say
over,
a guy's guy.
A guy's guy.
I'm with you on that.
I'm way too emotional. I'm oversensitive. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But some of these. I mean, I think it's my opinion that Adam does these things to. I think he that's what he does. He has that mentality of the guy's guy, and he's gonna. Whatever,
oh, and no question.
And those are his fans. I mean, they want to hear talk about the broads and those, and it's just not cool. I mean, he's just, I don't think he might be. I don't know. I've never met Adam. He's been on our show on the phone, and we've promoted things.
You mean on the Bob and Tom show.
Right. He's been on and called many times and promoted his books and his Kickstarters and all that stuff. And then I hear, and this could be wrong, I want to say that right away, but this is just things I've heard. He was, you know, well, the Bob and Tom show, they're just a bunch of hillbillies. I mean, it's the same old thing. We're in Indiana, and we're not cosmopolitan,
right.
And we're just not Hollywood enough for him, and on and on and on.
And that's the interesting thing, too. It's like, yeah, I kind of not pride myself, but I try to be a nice person, a good person. And I'm the opposite of the people who go, oh, that guy's from the South, so he's got to be an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or you're from the Midwest. I think that's like really judgmental, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people accuse me of being, I'm judging things that I hope, first of all, I'm keeping my targets high. I'm not like making fun of like comedians people haven't known.
Right.
But it's like, exactly like, oh, they're a bunch of hillbillies. Because, and the thing is, I haven't listened to him in a long time because I don't have satellite radio, but I used to love Howard Stern, even though he would drive me crazy, like after 9/11, he drove me crazy. But the thing is, if someone is funny, and I'll give you an example, like Nick DiPaolo. I don't agree with his politics at all, but I've known Nick for many years. He's hilarious.
He's
so
funny.
I don't think if someone's funny to me, that erases anything because that means so. Like Howard Stern can say inflammatory things, but he's I think hilarious. I think he could be really funny, but his crowd, the people who follow him, mm-hmm. those are the people I grew up with on Long Island who were bullies and, you know, beat right. me up. And the white,
absolutely.
You
know, well,
and I was, I don't like the
lots
the,
of confrontations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like those people are, I hate those kind of men who are like just sitting around and they just think it's the funniest thing in the world mm-hmm. to be misogynistic or, and that's not the best of Howard. The best of Howard is a truly funny guy, I think, you know, and then the other stuff is stuff that, you know, when he goes on to things about, like he'll say something like in his book, he goes, I never said the Haitians were the worst. The French are the worst. You know, he'll say things like that where it's funny the way he's saying it, you know? And so, yeah, but that's what you're saying, that guy's guy thing. I find it offensive, uncomfortable, and that's the kind of thing you use. I mean, I tweeted like, oh, boy, these opening Anthony fans really have a way with three or four words.
No, it's the truth, though.
Should see the things they say to me.
Yeah, but that ability to separate the things. Like, I'm not really a fan of this guy's politics, but I recognize that he's funny. I'm not necessarily. I mean, because there comes a point where you realize who your audience is and you kind of come to their level, wherever their level is, whether it's up or down. And I think that people get, like Howard Stern, maybe get caught up in that and go for the easy joke or like you said,
I don't know if Howard does that. But again, I haven't heard him in many, many years. But, like, you know, there's a famous thing of Bill Burr online on YouTube where he's at one of these opening Anthony-sponsored shows where mm-hmm. the people are just, like, drunk and screaming. And he put them down in the funniest way I've ever seen.
I love Bill. He's hilarious. And he's been on, and I hope he'll be on the show, the Bob and Tom Show, a lot more, and we'll get him on the podcast. But, yeah, Bill manages it to be a guy's guy and have, but not in, like, that immature, awful,
well, that's
shitty
way,
that's
the thing too. Is if it's a guy's guy and he's funny, then it actually, it's like he's being funny and he could be aggressive or whatever. But you know, he's not like the people who, he's not like the. First of all, he's obviously not like the people who are. Because I know that because I actually listened to him telling Anthony, you know, that he's, you know, trying to argue with Anthony about being a racist on opening Anthony show. But so it's like a lot of it is my own issues of things that I feared when I was a kid.
I'm right there with you.
So I don't want to ever be to the point where if a guy's different from me because he's more aggressive generally, then I'm not going to enjoy his comedy. Because I like I love Fitzsimmons. I love a lot of those guys mm-hmm. who are what you would call, you know, more like a New Yorker type of edgy guy like that. But it's but that being said, this ugly kind of, oh, it's why shouldn't we be homophobic and misogynistic? That's what and you know, these open ethnic people sending me pictures of bodies piled up in concentration camps and
what the hell is that?
And saying Hitler when they sent me a thing like when Robin Williams died, they're like, Kindler should take notes, you know. And I have to tell you that I'm proud to say that kind of thing does not bother me because I'm able, you know, like my wife will not read any comment sections.
I can blame her. Yeah.
And so,
we've talked about the comment section on here.
Yeah, don't read the comments.
Just don't. But you know, and when it's that ludicrous, it doesn't get to me. You know, it's not like, oh, they told me to mm-hmm. kill myself, so maybe I should. Or, you know, it's
right,
like,
right.
It becomes ludicrous, but it just shows the level that these people are thinking.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in, you're making me remember my childhood. And I never got the girl. I was overweight. But I had humor and I had friends that way. But I saw the guys who got the girls and they were just dicks. I mean, you know, treat the girls like, you know, keep your pimp hand strong and all this bullshit. And I got so unexpectedly upset about the Ray Rice situation. I couldn't understand why. And that's exactly it. Ray Rice is one of, and this is my opinion, I feel like Ray Rice is one of these guys who has to keep his, as we always, keep your pimp hand strong, keep that woman in line. And you know that attitude exists. And there are people serious about that. When this happened to Ray Rice, I mean,
Yeah.
She's like in the room with him trying to plead
for
Ray not to get suspended to the commissioner.
This
Goodell.
Has happened once. It's never happened
it's
before.
It's never happened before. Mm-hmm. I love him. It'll never happen. I mean, it's just.
It was very scripted, obviously.
Classic shit. And I just don't. I don't understand. And I guess it's a form of jealousy and resentment. How do these guys get these girls when they act like that?
That will stand by their side. Yeah.
And these guys don't love these women. They don't cherish them. They don't want to do anything for them or be around them. They just want to point and go, yeah, that's my whatever horrible word they would use for a woman, whatever's in fashion at that time. And it just continues, and the girls don't. Not only do the girls not do anything about it, they marry the guy.
Right, right.
And it's just don't get it.
Yeah, I think it's. Well, I also think there's a lot of things, you know, all of us have a tendency to. You know, they say you marry the person who's your like your parents or something like that. I mean, I think we all have emotional problems where we might. I did marry my mother briefly in a civil service.
Well, no, I've been trying to find my mother for 3 marriages now, and it's not.
It's not. Yeah,
that doesn't work. No.
You had to wear the mother clothes. No, but so everybody. I think that you could see, and I could also see how someone could be. Because I've heard this a lot of times where someone was really nice when they first met. You know, like they didn't see
him. We've had this discussion. You know, hey, you're a salesman.
That's what I've always said. You are selling you, you know, and you're not going to let him see the crazy. You're going to make a lot of meals, and you're going to wear a lot of makeup and you do all those things.
And he's gonna you know, not get so drunk and not
have hopes that he's gonna change too, so it's not like that. I'm gonna do is I'm gonna wear enough makeup and I'm gonna cook enough meals and I'm gonna have enough
and
sex with him that he's going to change. Yeah.
It's a very, very, you know, it's also very like a hard sometimes because when you go back in history and you they say, well, Picasso was this way, or sometimes I feel like I don't want to know any more about Picasso because I want to be able to enjoy his painting. You know what I mean? It's like
like the feces thing, and was that Picasso?
Are you mixing up Danny Thomas with Picasso?
Didn't somebody cover himself in feces? And
I used to when I was in the Navy.
Now that I think it was me, were you in the Navy?
No.
It's a good reference.
I was about to say it too, and then I was like, no, he wasn't.
It's a good reference, though.
You're a good actor.
Yeah, I think so. I have to stop looking at the camera when I act.
I always get caught up in my thing is I don't want to meet anybody famous or anybody that I really enjoy. And
the Jeff Garland rule.
The Jeff Garland rule. Yeah. And that only I lucked out with Joe Theismann. He honestly is, and I know many people have the assumption that he's full of himself, and he certainly went through that part in his life.
Oh, sure.
But, I mean, he's always been great to me. And
he's also a huge fan of you. He is a fan as much as you are.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part. What was that?
He is a huge fan of yours.
he's a huge fan of yours.
Just scared to, like, I was scared to meet Louis. He came in and was on the show one morning, but Louis was unbelievably nice. He was great when I met him.
That's his shtick.
Is it? I have such a crush on him.
Yes. Wow.
It goes back to when you were a kid. My first boyfriend had red hair, and I don't know. I think that's a thing.
It's hot. Let's not kid ourselves.
Let's not sit here and try to.
But I mean, even like I was reading, I read this biography of Richard Pryor, and he obviously had
a
terrible.
Rough life.
And then I think he was violent with women and all these kind of. But you know, and so even hard to say this, but Richard Pryor is to me is the greatest comedian that there ever was, and you can't take that away from him. You know what I'm saying? Right. I don't know if I'm making a point that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
Because that doesn't excuse anything that he did or justify anything that he did. But man, that first live concert film is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
So vulnerable. So, you know, and it. And a lot of times, I'm not saying that justifies what Ray Rice did, but I do think that women. Like there's something about like a amazing athlete that you admire and for the right reasons.
Sure.
Okay, well, that does make it worse. That Ray is the way he is.
Yeah,
it's like when Clinton said he got caught. You know why I did it? because I could.
Yeah.
And I would put up with it.
I like it. Now, this Aaron Hernandez sounds like a good guy.
You know, I've invested all my money with him. I'm just going to give all of it to Aaron. See what he can do with it.
Yeah. And I always wonder, like, with like someone like Hernandez, could it couldn't just be drugs, but Jesus Christmas.
No, how can you, evidently, according to reports, possibly killed three people?
I think they're starting to maybe say who hasn't he killed. allegedly.
Certainly.
I don't want to get on his bad side either, because if I end up in prison for my material, I don't want to be in his cell. I don't know what I'm scared of now.
Next up, you want to go to jail, Jordan? Jordan,
I would not do well in jail. I don't think I would. Don't have the physique or the prowess for it.
The prowess?
Yeah.
What show? What are you even watching? Oz?
The intimidation prowess.
Acumen?
Yes. The skill set.
There you go, skill set.
Mm-hmm.
But even when I was reading this Richard Pryor biography, it was like I just felt bad for everyone involved.
Who wrote it?
It's just a recent book that came out. I think Joe Henry, who's a musician.
Prior Convictions or the other one?
It's called, it just came out. It's called
Furious Cool.
Furious Cool.
Joe Henry and David Henry?
They're brothers, and Joe Henry's an excellent musician.
Okay.
And it celebrates it. I mean, you can't help, again, you can't get to the point where you say, well, I won't watch Richard Pryor again because he was the greatest. And so.
Well, that's the ability to separate, you know. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't say that someone's not good at something because.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody knew all of the horrible things I'd done.
Wait a minute.
What have you done?
Skipped
a lot of school.
But, and I know
monster.
Some.
I know.
I know some of the horrible things you've done.
Sure.
And you know some of the horrible things I've done. Yeah. But I think we could, even at our maddest at each other or disappointment.
Talking about the horrible things we've done to each other.
Or anybody. And we know about horrible things we've done to other people.
I guess.
I would say that you're a nice person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not evil.
Uh-huh.
They say in the trades.
Uh-huh.
But I try to be a nice person. I don't think people...
Were you evil to him?
No.
I like to stir stuff up.
Stir it up.
I want to have an love connection show.
Even if somebody is terrible and they've been... I don't know if I should say this.
Go, baby, go.
But I'm going to, because this is just... the extreme... of my sympathy. It's very hard for me to hate someone, to really genuinely hate someone.
Hitler.
I don't feel like I was close enough to the situation.
He was nice to you.
But to hate someone,
right.
You know, like I, per- you would deal. Have to personally do something to me. When
or
they,
your kids.
When they, sh- probably, when they showed Saddam Hussein after he was dead, when they showed those pictures of him in on the media, I felt sympathy. It still chokes me up and makes me sick to my stomach. And I know that the horrible things he did. I don't know.
Well, he did some bad.
I know he did. I know he did. But it's just
the Kurds.
Yeah, I know.
Not his best work.
No,
I know. I know what you're saying, though.
You know
that's
saying?
Why
like,
I'm against. That's why I'm against
sympathy.
The death. That's why I'm against the death penalty.
Yeah,
because I feel like as horrible as anything that when you deliberately go out and kill somebody, no matter what they've done, it's almost like you're getting into that territory.
Yeah, kind of. Just to splash his picture all over. He's dead and he's bloated and he was hung. Is that correct? Yeah.
Pictures are hanged.
Hung?
No,
hanged?
Pictures are hung. People are
no,
hanged.
How did he die? Is what I was asking.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, he was hanged.
I thought he was hanged?
I thought you were trying to get the tense right. My point is...
you were making a grammatical point.
I'm not sure if it was Buddha or someone smart. If one person dies, everyone dies. It's a soul leaving the earth. I mean,
but like I said, I have never had someone do anything extreme enough to me or someone I love for me to want to kill someone. You know, I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, but I'm just saying that. But when I see things like that, when I saw Saddam Hussein's dead face all over the meat, I felt sympathy. I don't know why.
Well, I think it's... I don't even
is
know
it
if
just because somebody's dead?
It was, I don't it's, think it was, it's even... I don't know if the word is even
it's,
sympathy,
it's not.
Because it's not like you're sympathizing with him.
No,
but
you're right.
You're feeling horror at the the level that people would go to, regardless of what was. I understand.
Maybe
what you're
it was
saying.
Sick. It was sickening. The media. The media was sickening, and I felt guilt that I was a part of that. I watched it. That I saw it.
I even take it a step farther, and I think because I think there's a motive. I think the media took this as an opportunity. Oh yeah, we're really going to kick the shit out of this guy in the media because we're going to be able to get away with it because everybody hates him. Let's all see what horrible things we can write about and horrible pictures, and because no one will complain about.
Somebody's dad. You know, that's still somebody's brother. That's still, I feel like I really chose him and I shouldn't have when I was talking about.
No. You see, here's the thing that you're saying. It's so funny because that's why these things are so hard to talk about.
Yeah.
Because when I was talking about the Richard Pryor thing, it's like, you know, I'm imagining people going, how can you justify?
Right.
It's like we're talking about complex issues that don't have, there's no answer.
There's no right
feeling. You're not justifying Saddam Hussein. You're saying what your true reaction was. It's like, to me, Richard Pryor will always be a hero because of what he was able to communicate and bring out of society.
Okay.
So you can have that belief and then also be horrified by other things.
Right.
But I think when people get into this thing like, no, you must now reject this person.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, you know, or ban this Picasso, whatever it is. I can't go. There's no easy answers. It's complicated.
No.
I think it's not sympathy as much as it's empathy. Like you feel, like you said, it's someone's dad. Like you feel for the kids.
For the people who are alive, I guess.
How you would feel if you saw your dead dad on TV being slandered like that.
Maybe
like
that's what it is.
Bad for those people.
I don't know, but it's just, but now even that I've said all of this out loud, I'm like, after this podcast come out, I'm not going to get on Twitter. I'm going to close my eyes and scroll to the top of the comment so I don't have to read anything anybody said to me. Like, that's like, I am not built for podcasts and fucking social media.
And you say that, and
but I'm not going to.
There are people on Twitter who will try to say the worst thing possible just to get your attention.
I know, but you know what? I had someone say, well, then that's when I'll close my eyes and scroll to the top and I won't read it.
You have to.
But there was a gentleman who said something really nasty about my personal appearance on Twitter.
Oh, that motherfucker.
And it was the first time that before I would block him and I'd report him as spam or do something completely adult-like. And and this time I just said, hey, I know it's not a flattering picture, but would you take that tweet down? That really hurt my feelings. And he did. And he never responded. He never said anything else. And I don't know if that was just luck that I found the guy who was willing to do it and not say anything nasty back or start a big Twitter war.
You know what? This brings us back to it's negative attention seeking, right? I mean,
yes.
And I think that's some of these comedians that we're talking about. I'm going to say the worst possible thing I can think of and get attention and tear somebody else down. And I kind of mean it.
I've had people say, like someone said, just something terrible to me. I didn't remember what they told me. And they were like, and I blocked them, but you can still see what they say after you block people. And it was like, I'm just so thrilled that I was able to get you upset. Or I'm a big fan. I'm thrilled that.
What is that mentality?
It is the weird. Like, I blocked a woman yesterday. I don't even know who this person is. It's some kind of a monster. It's not that there are monsters in real life.
I think they are,
but there's something monstrous. And her thing, I was looking at her, and she started to say terrible things about me. And then I looked at what she was saying. And so, you know, that reporter who, those two reporters in the Ferguson thing? They were in McDonald's, and one was, and then they, you know, the cops harassed them and all that kind of thing, and for no reason at all, and told them to stop filming, which is unacceptable to me. You cannot, you have no right to tell someone, a law enforcement, that you can't film something. And then some woman wrote to him, judging by your appearance, I side with the officer, you know? And so you start to see, and I look down all of her, and it's like, I don't even know if it is a woman, but that's her name is a woman. They go, this is, she thinks this is funny or something is wrong. And I really can't explain what's happening with people's minds about why they are that way. But before Twitter, you just didn't see it.
No, and as much. Not, I guess not as much on Facebook, but I guess because Twitter.
No, Facebook. I think Facebook's bad. But I mean, just before there was social media.
Right.
Before social media, you didn't see it.
I think it's, what is it? The EQ, the emotional quotient of people. It's not even necessarily their intelligence, but their ability to understand emotion and comprehend it and put themselves in another person's place and realize what they're saying.
I really got under your skin, didn't I? I mean, what kind of a person is proud of that accomplishment? I don't get that.
Well, also, like I'm always amazed. There's a story. It's a very famous thing that happened in the news where a woman, like, thought, you know, picked a guy out and thought he was that he had raped her, and he went to prison for like 20 years, and then she realized that she had made a terrible mistake.
Oh God!
And so, like, that guy gets out, and like he forgives her.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is a lesson I would like to learn for myself. And then, you know, now they're like the closest of friends. And and so it's like, and a lot of times it's, and this is what happened to me on Facebook that just is, I never thought I would be this way where, you know, because I grew up, you know, when I was 12 years old, I realized, hey, the Bible's not literal. And only fundamentalists think the Bible is literal. Most people I know who are spiritual, they're first of all not saying it's a specific thing. It's a sense you have about the universe. But I got into a thing on Facebook, and I basically realized that all these people, and it was one particular person who was my friend, because a lot of times it is my fault because I engage when I shouldn't engage, and I need to learn the lesson to not engage. But in this case, this was someone who I was friends with. And then you see these people, they hate people if they're spiritual. They hate their guts. And this is like a new thing, like, not just like you want to be an atheist. That's fine. Many of my friends are atheists,
right.
And but they're not like one of my friends is an atheist. Said, why would I possibly be running around saying that people who believe in something spiritual are terrible? But they're and if you look at these atheist websites and things where they're and the way Bill Maher does it, where he says he goes against Muslims, like, all religions are bad but the Muslims are the worst. I mean, he has no sense of history about the Inquisition, knows nothing about Muhammad, and they pull these things out. And Sam Harris is this way, and the worst is this guy Richard Dawkins, who was a scientist. They pull things out of the Quran and say, of course this religion is terrible, look what's in the Quran, when nobody I know who's spiritual, they're as bad as fundamentalists. So what the thing about it was, I learned that I unfriended all these, I blocked all these people, like comedians, people I've known, and I realized, oh, no wonder why this guy was a jerk when I met him in the 90s. You know, you start to see a bunch of these people and what their minds are like. And so actually it was like an eye-opener for me. I really don't want, I really have no patience for people who are just abusive. I was raised that no matter what people believe, as long as they weren't bothering you, you should respect them and not condemn them. So it's been a life lesson for
there,
me.
Yeah, there should be, I heard this somewhere, there should be a baseline respect for all people.
And they justify it on that their whole thing is, look how, you know, how religion has damaged the world. But, you know, they never talk about how Stalin was an atheist and killed 30 million people, or how the how religion is illegal in North Korea. But the point is, they should focus on, yes, this Texas school board thing where they're teaching you creationism. Yes, we don't want creationism taught as science. Go after that. But don't go after everyone's core belief on the planet. You're not going to save one terrorist, or you're not going to convert one terrorist, or convert one person. Like, you know what your problem is? Your core religion is bad, you know? And it's weird. It's just a weird, and I think it's a weird time period right now with again, these people who think, like, oh, I mean, a lot of these people, like, who are these comedians, their whole thing is, like, their whole philosophy is, like, oh, black people have it so good now in America, you know, and why are the, why are the blacks getting everything so well? You know, it's just, and so that's the, it's a dangerous time in a way, but and I also think it's a life lesson, these things, because, and my wife's pointed this out, and she's absolutely right. It's like, you know, you're going on Twitter, you're going on these things, and you're ignoring me. Well, she's exactly right about it. You know, it's like a, it's like an addiction. You know, I enjoy, the character of Andy Kindler enjoys pot, but but these things of, like, you get the rush. How many retweets did you get? How many favorites did you get?
Looking.
It's a thing you really need to work on and limit it. Well, that's what I'm working on now, is limiting it. but it's hard.
Mm-hmm. How many times a day do you look at your Twitter account?
Too many times. And,
but,
too many.
But you think, man, I should. I'm going to block this guy. I mean,
well, I do block. Tom,
I bet 20 times a day I look at that.
Do you, Tom Green said something good.
I try not to, but
Tom Green, he said, I just block people immediately if I sense where I know where it's going.
Yeah.
And so I do block people
a
lot.
That's a good idea.
I do block people a lot more. Do you not block anyone?
No, I used to block everyone. I used to let
I don't block anyone. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt their feelings.
And
I know. I know it's silly.
No, it's not silly. It's a beautiful thought, and that's what we're all striving for.
Mute button was a godsend.
Well, how does the mute button work? Do you still see them?
No, you don't see anything that they post, but they have no idea that you can't see the shit they post.
But they still see stuff that you put up.
It's like Facebook and hiding everything.
Yeah. They still see you, and they can respond to you, but you're not going to see it.
Well, I think they can see it if they respond to you. If they go directly to you, you just can't see their general tweets. But if it's directed at you, I think you'd be able to see it.
If the muting?
The muting is
Once you mute someone, you don't see them, what they're saying.
At all.
Okay. No, that's it. You don't have to look at them anymore.
You have to look at them anymore.
Yeah. But I always sometimes.
And I try to work on this. And even when I get texts from friends, I always.
Oh, there's always inflection.
I apply inflection to whatever text I get. I mean, hi.
Oh, that's so,
hi, how are you? And I'll read it in my head.
No,
hi,
and we'll be in the car and he'll turn his phone and he's like, this fucking guy. And I was like, what? He said, how's your day? What's wrong?
How's your day?
I've gotten angry at okay.
I get angry at K.
K. K.
K.
I get angry
I
at
hate
K.
K.
Hey, if you ain't got fucking My time, dad give does me that. An O and K.
Spell it out.
But I'm very proud of one part of myself that I've taken things the wrong way. I've even blocked people and I realize, I screwed up. They meant it the opposite way.
Right.
And then I think it could be a very, I always want to take this one part of my mind where I'm taking it, could be taking it wrong. It's hard when you get attacked all the time. To think that they're being that this one guy was being totally sincere and he went kudos, and I thought, who uses kudos non-sarcastically?
Yeah, and one says that sincerely.
Yeah, so it really is a total thing of if you were in these things would never happen if you were talking about these issues at a party.
But you know what? And the sad part is the people we're talking about would never have the conversation that we're having right now.
Right.
All they want to do is. Mm-hmm. Attack and think it's funny, and
some of them are literally sick.
And they're,
yeah, absolutely,
just mean.
Mm-hmm.
The comments on YouTube are so hilariously bad.
I can't do YouTube.
I haven't done. I don't do YouTube. I don't.
Or maybe I am on YouTube. When I
the
cow.
Yeah, never look at comment sections anywhere.
I don't. I did well on our when you go to our podcast in the comment sections. I think it's the first eight. The first eight. Comments are Jess is awful. She is a comedic vacuum. It's beautiful. And it just I was like, why can't we move those somewhere else? Can we mix them up? Do they have to all eight be together right there?
I don't know how anybody could make a comment like that and not realize that what's going on here on the podcast. And if Jess isn't on this podcast, I'm not on this podcast. Mm. I go back to my little cave and do what I do on the Bob and Tom Show and be because we're the only thing that we would miss, of course, doing this podcast is all the money we're making.
Right.
So it's just it's a fun thing and we can sit and talk and spend time with our friends. And if you're coming at us to criticize any one of us, it's nothing going to change from your comments other than you see what I told her and you can talk about it at the bar later, I guess.
It's so rude. Like I get all these whenever I criticize, who are you to criticize? What have you done? You know, but so that's a theme. But also the idea that you would tell, like to me, if you don't like what I'm saying, fine, say you don't like what I'm saying. But the whole idea that you would say, why don't you, comedian, tweet, like they tell you what to tweet. Get back to your funny tweets. I tell people, I'm not on the clock now.
Yeah. Andy, I started following. I've rediscovered Keith Olbermann.
Yeah.
When he first got on ESPN, he hosted the highlight show on ESPN. I always thought he was funny and glib and treating sports the way you should. Sometimes it's serious, but most of the time they're playing baseball or football or whatever, and it should be fun. And now he's got a new highlight show. He's back on ESPN. He does sports, And I started following him the other day, and I think he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if – I'm sure I don't agree with his politics, but what he does – I think I admire what he does with his show.
So why are you – would you say you're not progressive politics-wise?
Depends on if you're talking about taxes.
Yeah, everything.
You like taxes?
No, I hate taxes. Who doesn't like taxes? I spend, baby. Anyway, so I start following Keith Olbermann.
I love him.
And
did you just pull all those pretzels out of your pocket?
Yeah, because I was eating them from my pocket.
Like, he's had pretzels in his pocket all morning.
The madness at one time has to end.
So I follow Keith Olbermann, and I get a tweet like 10 minutes later. Mm-hmm. Why are you following Keith Olbermann?
Are you serious?
How do they know you're following Keith?
So you have to go to my account.
Right, you're taking the time.
Taking the time to go, well, I wonder who's chick's following. And they go down and go, oh, Keith Olbermann, why... I disagree with
it's
him.
It's almost like...
Who?
It's like when an old boyfriend sees that you've changed, your followers have changed, and they check and they see who you're following. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, that might be.
Maybe similar to that.
That might be similar to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
But I wouldn't tweet you and say, why are you following that?
No, you would wait. You would wait until I walked into the podcast the next day and go,
what the hell are you following that guy for? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a thing yesterday that ended okay, fine. But then I was talking to the guy, and it was just like a conversation about I tweeted about in the hotels they say in case of an emergency, don't use the elevator. And my joke was unless of course it's a stairs oriented emergency, right? Mm-hmm. So this guy tweeted me. He replied. He said actually my friend and his coworkers. Mm-hmm. Made it out of the World Trade Center because
they made it personal. Yeah.
No, but it was good. I mean, he said that they actually did use the elevator and that saved their life. And I went back and forth. And then all of a sudden he's like, why were you so cranky during your talk in Montreal? It's like, what's the matter? I like you on Marin, but are you doing his cranky character? And I was like, what the hell is wrong? It's like he didn't see how that was socially wrong. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
To be, and then why you would think that after 30 years, I'm going to change. You're right. And then I did say to him, I said, maybe you're not aware this is a speech I do every year. And that was what it was. He didn't aware. He thought it was my act or whatever the hell he thought. He didn't understand it. So, but I got
people.
Mad.
People. They're the worst.
Do? What are we gonna do? How are we gonna fix this, Jordan?
We're
gonna
go to lunch.
What do we do?
I got nothing. No ideas.
You're the future, Jordan.
Contribute nothing to society.
No, you have to figure this out, Jordan.
1993.
All right, we'll figure it out. I'll get cracking on code.
I was 12.
Crack-a-lacking.
He has a good relationship with the social media, though, right?
Oh, you
don't have a big problem.
I do all right. Yeah. I think I don't stir up a lot of controversy because I don't have a lot of. Or
controversial things to say. Yeah.
The pussy wagon, Prius. You're okay.
Not very political.
You're very safe.
Not very.
Love the pussy wagon.
It's like hanging out, you know, being cool.
All right,
being
what's your Twitter handle? What is it?
At Jordan. It's that simple. The word at and then the word at Jordan.
No way.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's
that's funny. That's
Andy,
fun.
You're at Andy Kindler.
At Andy Kindler. I was Kindler Andy for 2 weeks and then so stupid.
Do you have a website for your dates and stuff?
My dates in 2005. AndyKindler.com.
AndyKindler.com. And it's beautiful photographs of you.
That's my wife. But we've been wanting to update it for years, but it's just one of those things. But I love the way it looks. But
and what's your wife's website? What was that?
Maljan.com.
M-A-L what?
J-A-N.com.
There you go.
The greatest photographer in the world. But she's very shy, and she doesn't like me bragging about her.
Aww. But you love her.
I love her. We got married and everything.
I've heard tell of stuff.
And
like
I'm learning about intimacy.
So wait a minute. When you asked her to marry you, she actually went through with it?
When I asked her to marry
stop
you.
Stop doing that joke.
I shouldn't have used. During the proposal, I shouldn't have said worst case scenario. During the proposal, I shouldn't have said six of one, half dozen of the other. I shouldn't have said at the end of the day. I shouldn't have said neither one of us are getting any younger. I shouldn't have said the health insurance is better.
Andy Kindler.
Thanks, guys.
Look for him at a venue near you.
I'm in Bloomington if this comes out today.
Thank you, Jess.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody, for downloading. podcast. Let's go out there and try to be nice to somebody, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.